Our reading today is from Matthew 6, 25, 33. And I suspect it's a familiar chapter or verse for many of you. It is for me. I personally turn to it when I'm afraid or when I'm preoccupied. So hear the words of Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. We've got a few extra props today. I hope that they don't distract you too much, but definitely good opportunities for us to see and to remember that not everything stays exactly the same. This is the last Sunday of the Christian year, the day when we gather to give thanks and praise to God. I like to focus today on Thanksgiving, but it's also the day that we celebrate Christ being the King of our hearts, the one who will reign forever, the one that will help us to be reconciled to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. So last week, we looked at the scripture where Pilate asks Jesus about being the king of the Jews. We talked about how everyone who believes in Jesus belongs. Everyone who has faith in Jesus is part of that group, to the group of belonging, to faith, to church, to be ambassadors of love in this world. Today, we turn our heads into a mindset of giving thanks. Thanks for the place that we have, the welcome, the belonging, and thanks to God for caring for all of our needs. With a focus on thankfulness and the greeting that we shared in our prayer and in our songs, we're attempting to direct our hearts and our minds to be thankful. It's not a secret. It all is supposed to blend together. But you know the saying, don't you? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I agree with that, and I agree with it about thankfulness as well. In light of the scripture that Dale shared with us today from Matthew, I feel even more so that you can be invited to be thankful, that you can have all the comforts or all of your needs filled, but if you don't feel gratitude in your heart, then you will not live a life of thankfulness. You have to make the choice. Today, our children reminded us that they are thankful for things. And yes, talking into the microphone was one of them, even though they didn't write it down. It's fun, right? What excites us, right? And then they put those in the basket, the same basket that we're going to use to collect our offering this day and our pledges this day and maybe your thankfulness. And it made me wonder, do you ever write down what you're thankful for? Do you ever give it breath or words? Is there someone that you talk to, maybe you call them on a regular basis and tell them the good things that have happened or the ways in which you have felt thankful? Now, like all church questions, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and answer that out loud, but I am going to ask you to think about it. For what are you thankful? Looking at today's scripture in light of the week ahead that we're beginning, we have an opportunity because we're reminded that we should be thankful for what we have. We should not live in a state of want or jealousy, but with all that we have, with our every breath, say thank you to God. As we attempt to live a life that matters, I would offer that a life that matters also includes being dedicated to God. If we promise with our heart and then do the best to live that out, that promise, then I think the world would be a better place. I really do. Too cliche for you? The world could be a better place? Okay. But is it any less true just because it gets said a lot? No. I'd like to remind us that the scripture lesson today, the gospel found in the book of Matthew, was written to a people who were asked to voluntarily live a life of poverty. The post-Easter church that Matthew was at invited everyone to give up all that they had and to live in a communal type setting. Today, we're not offering or asking that of you. But instead, like all those who have read the text before us, we're still being reminded to consider what cultural values we should walk away from and what we should walk towards. How we can live a life full of trust and obedience to God. It's a deep and meaningful question, and I dare to say that it's not one you would ask another parent on the soccer field or casually in line for coffee. Hey, what are you going to give up? Huh? What are you going to walk away from so you can be more dedicated to God? Does that really sound? I don't know, maybe. Maybe you're much braver than I am, right? But it is a question that we ask of fellow disciples, of people who believe, who belong, who follow Jesus. We ask ourselves and each other, what do we need to do in order to follow Jesus more closely? But let's get back to the bird. And yes, Cindy, this is where I laughed earlier. Right? Thinking about that bird. I guess this week that's all I think about is birds, but you'll hear why, right? That bird that Dale read to us about, the one that didn't sow or reap, and yet it is fed, right? Where is that bird today? If you said in your refrigerator thawing, I understand. See, it is funny. I didn't cut it. Right? But no, really, where are those birds, right? This week, I heard the birds, and I think maybe for the very first time, even though I've lived in that house for many years, I heard the birds in my front yard. I think there was a whole, is the word gaggle? There was a whole gaggle of them, right? And they were noisy, more noisy than I have ever heard. It sounded like a very important conversation happening in my front yard. And I looked up, and I saw the tree was just full. And I laughed to myself, even out loud, and thought, well, they're having one heck of a meeting. I thought they might be meeting about when they were going to leave, and there might have been a little disagreement among some of them. And then, on cue, less than a day later, my kids asked me about the birds. They said, where do they go, Mommy? Perfect. I thought I know the answer to one of their questions. I said, with confidence, they fly south. And not a second later, I got, why? And I will sheepishly admit to you, I hadn't ever thought about why. I mean, yeah, it's cold, it's snow, whatever, right? It's too cold for birds. I get that part. But really, why? Duh. You know this, right? Because they fly to where they can find food. And if the ground is frozen, then the things that creep on the ground, that crawl on the ground, that eat from the ground aren't eating, therefore they have nothing to eat. So they have to go far enough to where the ground has things that are still alive for them to eat. I know, some of you are really laughing at my inability to understand how animals work, but I'm telling you, this was like revelationary to me this week. Birds fly south and far enough south until they find what they need so that they can stay fed. On frozen ground so that they can eat. It's about eating. And then I thought about God and the invitation that we have accepted to follow God and the ways that following God and loving God's people can be so much fun. Like, you could take a tag from the giving tree out there, either put money in an envelope or buy a present. Isn't that fun? To buy a present for someone, to wrap it up, leave it under the tree, to think about the smile that they might have. It's fun to come to church and sing Christmas carols together, and you can do that next Sunday if you'd like. Right? Next Sunday. Yeah, it's already almost Christmas time. You could bring a friend who loves to sing songs and do it here in this place. You could buy cookies or bake cookies or eat cookies, right? Or you could come here and watch the kids put on their Christmas pageant. I thought about the church that you have built here, this refuge from the world out there, this place where birds wouldn't have to worry, but we don't have birds in here, no worries. Right? But yet a place where birds wouldn't have to worry, a place where we could seek God and receive God in this warm ground, if you will. And I thought about what does it take for us to maintain this warm piece of ground. Yes, we need to pay the bills, right? Especially the heat bill, right? But we also need to be people who foster a place where God is not only invited, but is present. A place where God is known, where we know enough about God that we can share it with each other, that we've learned enough about Jesus' teachings that we can read them together and talk about them and decipher them and maybe admit that we had no idea why something said something, right? We need to be a place where folks can be honest and grateful and approach the table of grace with dedication. To be folks that accept birds that sing out loud or out of tune or whistle at the wrong time, right? Some of us even clap at the wrong time during the choir pieces, but it's okay. We need to share our experiences about God. When have we seen or felt or been known by God? We need to recognize each other's needs and to help us meet them together. Have you noticed there's two songs that we've sang each Sunday in worship this month? Oh, I know. Some of you are like, uh-oh, I wasn't here except this day. It's okay. We're singing them today too. Two songs. I'm going to live so God can use me. And yes, I recognize I'm the only one who moves my feet during that song, and I'm okay with that. And the second one is the fourth verse of What Gift Can We Bring? We've sang it as our offertory each week. The former, I'm going to live so God can use me, invites us to recognize that our actions and our energy can be used for good in this world as blessings to God and God's people. And the latter is a reminder that what we offer is not just the item that we put in the basket, but it is our prayer, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, the intangible parts that we lay before God. And that when we present these gifts at the altar of grace, that we do so with a right heart, with one that is truly full of gratitude. As we wrap up our Christian year, I invite you, like you do maybe for wrapping up the calendar year, I would invite you to look back on the last year and to consider where God has used you, where God has called you, to think about what service you have done in the name of the Holy One. Where have your hands been utilized, or where have your feet gone that have left a blessing to another? Which of these opportunities would you do again? Once you start making that list, maybe some of them will shine out as, I want to do that one again. And others might fall away as things that really weren't life-giving. And then I would invite you to think about who you could take with you next time. I'd love to go. I'm not a very good sewer. My baking skills are a little lacking. But I'd love to try. Friends, this week of Thanksgiving, I would invite you to try to set aside your worries and to open up your heart to thankfulness. I invite you to whisper or speak out loud or even shout if you need to your gratitude, but only if you need to. But I pray that you will not be shy this week with your thank yous and instead that you will say them until you mean them and mean them when you say them. And remember that God will take care of you. Living a life that matters, offer your grateful heart to God, dedicate yourself to God, and be a blessing to others. I pray that you may do that this day and always with God's help. May it be so. Amen.